mostly hit it.
I guess we were just down here.
Alex is sitting beside you.
No, as it happens.
And you go.
Most offensive.
Territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Saulteaux, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papa Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge continuing colonial violence and respect Indigenous knowledges and traditions. Before we take attendance, because this is the first meeting of this term, we do have to take the oath of office. So I'll ask all members of Students Council to please stand. and repeat after me. Hopefully all of you can see this. It's a little bit bigger. Wonderful. Please repeat after me. I'm not here for me.
I am not here for me.
I'm here for the people that lend me their power in exchange for a promise.
I'm here for the people that lend me their power in exchange for a promise.
I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind.
I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I am not here for me.
I am not here for me.
Please be seated. All right, so we'll quickly take attendance and then we'll move on with the rest of the agenda. So, President Kinda.
Here.
Vice President Rahman.
Here.
Vice President Hanwell.
Here.
Vice President Bondarchuk.
Here.
Vice President Kwan.
Here.
Governor Khan is here somewhere.
Here.
Councilor Allard.
Here.
Councilor Tronson.
Here.
Councilor Jang. Councilor Burton. Councilor Dion.
Here.
Councilor Schlamp.
Here.
Councilor Angus.
Here.
Councilor Patches.
Here.
Councilor Johnson.
Here.
Councilor Chang. Councillor Stephen?
Here.
Councillor Ka Xia Wang? Councillor Patrick?
Here.
Councillor Jason Wang?
Present.
Councillor Yu?
Here.
Councillor Singh?
Present.
Councillor Kornhoff? Councillor Christensen?
Here.
Councillor Doan? Councillor Flyman?
No.
Ms. Maxwell for Councillor Hodgson?
Here.
Ms. Crooks for Councillor Roussel?
Yep.
Mr. Smal for Councillor McKinnon?
Present.
Councillor Kwan?
Here.
Councillor Duan?
Here.
Councillor Ademange?
Here.
Councillor Kevin Wang?
Here.
Councillor Xu? Councillor Mustafis?
Here.
Councillor Lewis?
Here.
And I am here. General Manager is not. Wonderful. So with that, leave everything is taken care of, so we will move on to presentations. Item 2A, feedback on election and campaigning process presented by the DRO. Is there a sponsor for this presentation? President Kinda, is there a seconder? Councilor Flyman, thank you very much. Is there anyone opposed to hearing this presentation and participating in this interactive discussion? Seeing none, go ahead.
Thank you. Should I use this? Great. Hi. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. My name is Rania, and I'm the DRO. I really wanted to get a chance to speak with all the counselors before the campaigning process began. I'll tell you a little bit about my role just to refresh your memory. I work with Jessica, the CRO. My role is essentially helping oversee the campaigning process, the election process. I am in the middle of familiarizing myself with all the bylaws, especially all the amendments that have happened recently. So I guess this is more of a discussion rather than a presentation, and I really wanted to get your feedback on the campaigning process since you've all clearly participated in it. So the areas that I wanted to discuss include implementing a get-out-the-vote process during the campaigns, general advertisements, forum dates, general feedback as to what you'd like to see from your CRO and DRO, and any other points that you would like to be raised. So I'd like to start with Get Out the Vote. So when creating the election timeline, Jessica and I realized that there wasn't a component that was implemented in the past. So I would like to do that for both executive elections and councilor elections. So if anyone has something that they'd like to include that they think would be a must during a Get Out the Vote campaign, or what would be helpful since you've all run campaigns in the past, that would be appreciated, or something that would hinder a campaign for Get Out the Vote.
vote campaign before the executive election, would it be possible to incorporate advertising for the general counsel positions available?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's something else that we wanted to incorporate with Get Out the Vote is to ensure that the student body knew of all the different positions that were out there. For example, something, this is kind of going a bit off topic, but with vacant positions in council, those are obviously not ideal. So hopefully, if there are candidates running for those faculties, we really want people to get out and vote for that. So definitely. Okay, moving on to advertising in general for elections. We're planning on... Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, just maybe as a suggestion, as a part of the Get Out to Vote campaign, maybe actually give out information about what the different positions do, because I do find that a lot of people who are don't really know the student that well don't know what the positions do all that well. And maybe just have that incorporated as a part of like the advertisement you put out for the Get Out to Vote campaign.
Mm-hmm. So would you think that the volunteers participating would have like a physical copy of
a brochure,
okay.
Or even on the advertisements themselves, because I remember the Get Out the Vote posters and stuff kind of posted around all the time.
Yeah,
just maybe have it a bit more informative and just in one or two sentences just describe the different positions too.
Okay, so incorporate that with the, like,
yeah,
the physical advertising. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Cody, did you
know? Oh yeah. Well, I guess it falls in either. Something that other like ad campaigns or campaigns have, not necessarily political, but like they talk to the instructors about it, because I know that a lot of the time when I was in a class last year, sometimes the instructor would be like, "You and you should vote. It's awesome." So like if the instructors had all that information from the elections office ahead of time, because a lot of instructors don't know what's going on until the Monday when it starts and they get like sieged by all the candidates to like. Be able so they could have that information to their students ahead of time and try to like tell them why it's important to vote. Because, yeah.
Okay, that's a good idea. That's actually something that I hadn't thought of before, incorporating the class talks during SU elections. So.
Yeah, not always even having your class talks, but like something the Peer Support Center did was like they just had like a one page like PDF slide, and they'd be like, they'd send them out to the instructors list and said,
mm-hmm.
"Can you give this? Can you like if you want project it on your thing before class starts, or put it on e-class, so then students know ahead of time that a vote's coming."
Thank you. That's a good idea.
Hi, thanks for coming. Just to kind of tack on to what Cody was saying, or Vice President Bondarchuk, sorry, old habits die hard. Even just a heads up to the profs the week before the election saying, the barrage of emails you might receive on Monday are from candidates. Please consider allowing candidates to present. This helps the democratic process. Because sometimes, like, I encountered profs that were really resistant to having people who are campaigning coming and speaking in their class. So I don't know if the CRO or DRO is even interested in helping people who are campaigning pave the way for that. But even a heads up might be helpful.
Yeah. No, we are. That's partly what we're here for. So...
Never mind. Thank you for coming here. So one of the things when I was talking to students when I ran for a counselor was a lot of people that understood that execs are kind of a big deal. So more people pay attention to like the exec elections because they know there are like platforms, portfolios, like what they plan to do in terms of directing the SU as an organization. But in terms of counselors, again, like people, they either don't know what we do, but also at the same time, there are some people who say, like, why should I even care about counselors, right? It's not like they can do anything, like the executives are, you know? So one thing that I would want to be communicated, especially when it comes to the counselor elections, is why it is important to choose a good counselor for your faculty. Like, make that the focus. Otherwise, people will find zero motivation at all to vote for counselors.
Thank you.
Another thing that I think should be considered when advertising for it is also informing students about the General Faculties Council, because a lot of times you have students who run for both council and General Faculties Council, but when they're asked, well, by students just don't know what either of them are or the differences. So I think you could just to somehow make a simplified, like a flow chart, I don't know, something fun. But just to kind of like show what council does, what General Faculties Council does, what the exec does, and just like kind of just show all that.
Do you think that should be done in like a, like, would you like to see advertising, like a, like posters about that, for example, up? Like, do you think that would be helpful, or should that also be on social media?
I think you could do like almost like a simple poster that kind of just briefly explains what each thing does, without getting too worried, but just so students are aware that there are different groups, student groups, and different tasks that we share. So if there's a way that it can be simplified through a poster or social media or like a quick advertisement or something, I think it could be considered and could be useful.
Thank you. Okay. So in terms of getting more into advertising, I really want to amp up our social media usage. We have decided to launch an influencers campaign so we're in the process of contacting past SU executives, so anyone from William Lau to Don Iveson, and basically asking them to provide a quote or story about how their time involved as an SU executive or counselor positively impacted them, and to share their experience a bit. So we're doing that on social media. There'll also probably be a few posters up, so. And that's one of the ways we'll be utilizing social media just to get people excited about running and also voting. As for posters, I wanted to ask if, like from your experience, if we should have utilized other avenues in your faculties to advertise, or if you saw that there was a lack of advertisement in certain parts in your faculties. I know we definitely want to amp up the advertising in faculties that haven't had people running or haven't had many people running at all.
Thanks for coming in today, Rania. One small suggestion that I can think of is if we're going to put up posters at Campus St. John, having them translated in French and working with AUFSG to make sure that the translation is accurate, because sometimes Google doesn't do the job.
Fair enough.
Two things. I think I love the idea of the influencers. I think if people can connect to someone they realize was an SU counselor in a previous life, and they go, hey, that person's doing really awesome things in the community, maybe this is something I should look into. That's a really powerful kind of train of thought that people can be led down. The only thing I hope to see for that is that it has enough time to kind of sink in people's minds to actually decide to run. So as long as there's a 2-week buffer period that idea can kind of percolate and come to fruition, then I think it'll be even more effective in the end. And then in terms of faculty communication, the arts usually doesn't have too much of a problem finding candidates to run, but I know the faculty, and I'm assuming, I'm not certain that other faculties do this, they have a faculty newsletter that they email up to students. I'm not guaranteeing that students will even open or read the email, but that is one avenue that could be explored if it's not being restarted.
Thank you.
Tessa Aller?
There we go. Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. I just have two quick considerations. So one, with any campaign, and Councillor Johnson kind of mentioned this, is that you really have to consider the student life cycle in that the information that you're providing to students is just going to probably go right through their heads if it hits them right before the elections or during midterm season. So we're kind of on a very tight timeline here, but I don't really have a suggestion with how to do that. It depends on the campaign. The other thing is, I can only speak for my faculty, the Faculty of Agricultural Life and Environmental Sciences, and I know this is the case in a
lot of smaller faculties. A lot of students get to the sort of departmental or maybe faculty association level and then kind of stay there, and they're very inwardly focused within their faculty. So if you're going to do any sort of Get Out the Vote campaign, I think specifically targeting or like advertising to or getting in contact with departmental associations and faculty associations, that's where you're going to find the people who are involved and knowledgeable about their faculty enough to run for council and to represent their students.
Thank you.
This might be looking a little bit longer term than just the current election cycle, but I was also tossing around the idea of getting in touch with the organizers of orientation and putting together some kind of presentation to all the new incoming students for the upcoming year, and maybe fit it in with the Beyond the Book seminar or whatever, and get that seed planted so the following election cycle, the thoughts in some of the new students' minds that, hey, this might be something for me.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Thank you.
This way I don't have to yell, and it's better for everybody. One thing, of course, I'm sure you considered with the federal and provincial Get Out the Vote campaigns, part of the strength was that there was hundreds of students getting people to sign up to vote and hundreds of students making these calls. With the election campaigns that we have, I can foresee a problem with getting enough people to actually do it because, of course, you know, people are committed to certain campaigns and stuff, and I just wanted to wondered how you foresaw dealing with that as far as getting enough students to actually make sure this was effective while not hindering the results of the election in any way.
Yeah, that's a very good question. We've definitely had a lot of conversation about it, especially because we don't want to pool from candidates' volunteers because they wouldn't want to give the volunteers up anyways. So something that I've utilized before in a past Get Out of the Vote campaign was using, already utilizing people that I think would be interested in. Something we also thought about if we came across someone who wasn't quite sure about running but still wanted to be super involved, recruiting them as volunteers. That's something that we thought about. I think another thing is definitely, telling the candidates to put a word out as well, because a Get Out the Vote campaign would be useful for them as well. So it's definitely, I don't have a perfect answer for you because we're definitely still figuring it out. But I think what's helpful is that we are running a fairly short Get Out the Vote campaign. We really want to utilize face-to-face canvassing the days of voting. So that might also be a selling point for volunteers too, is we need you, but only for these 2 days. And getting them to utilize social media as well. Okay, one of the last things I wanted to bring up was the forum dates. So we do have, we are getting the dates confirmed now, but as I was looking at the dates, I realized that we didn't have an official Augustana forum, and that was something that I thought it would be important to implement. As for that, I was wondering, I'm not sure if you guys know the dates yet. I can list some of them off. Yes, okay, most of them off. So as for the forums, the first substage forum will be February 23rd, the second the 24th. The forum and lister to be confirmed will be the 25th in the evening. The Campus Saint-Jean forum will be the 26th in the afternoon. And Meyer Horowitz is February 29th in the afternoon as well. As for incorporating an Augustana forum, do you think it would be better to have that forum on the 1st of March? Keep in mind voting days are the 2nd and 3rd. Or have a day that would be have a double forum, I suppose. So, for example, the Campus Saint-Jean forum would be 12 to 1 on the 26th and have people go to, or candidates go to Augustana in the evening.
So, in the past, from what I know is they've just been coordinated with Augustana's own forums, like with ASA, And usually that's meant doubling up. So two forms in a day. So there's like at 6 o'clock, probably on the 23rd or something. But yeah, it's worth checking for them.
Maybe one thought also is that if you do it the night before elections begin, people might not have the ability or might not take the time to adequately research all the candidates. Because I know that in the past, most of the voting occurred the first day of elections between like 10 and 11 or something like that. So if the metrics are saying that most people vote on the first day, very close to when polls open, you might want to give them a little bit of a cushion to do like an appropriate amount of research in it. Just about.
Just about forums, I guess, in general. Was there talks or plans of doing a forum for council nomination or council elections? Because while there might be a less attendance, I think it would be an opportunity to get more attention, especially if you're focusing on the get out of the vote and get people interested in the election. By holding a forum, it might, I don't know, engage the voters a bit more and get them more likely to vote if they know more about the candidates.
Yeah, they're definitely, we've considered it. I know it, from my knowledge, it hasn't been done in the past. So I definitely think that it would be worthwhile, but it's something that, I guess I also want to hear from you guys. Would you guys be interested in having a forum and participating in a forum?
Yes, is the short answer. Bylaw committee's kind of talking about putting that in bylaw, like at least having some type of forum-esque. Obviously, when you have so many candidates running for so many council positions, having a forum similar in substance to the exact ones isn't going to be totally possible, but this is probably a conversation that will need to happen with you and Jessica going forward, but that's kind of one of our projects within these last few months of our terms as councillors, is we kind of want to, or at least some of the people in bylaw want to explore making the council forum, at least one councillor forum, kind of lasting thing for years to come, because I think there's a positive good that can come of giving students a chance to see and interact with the people that are running to represent them rather than just seeing their posters or seeing their website.
Okay. The only issue I have, I think for something like that, it needs to come from the faculty associations themselves. Because where I do think it's appropriate in certain faculties, such as arts or science, where it's so big, it makes sense to have that, especially when you've got a lot of candidates running. But there are smaller faculties where, you know, well, most years there aren't even a candidate there. Like, I don't want to do anything to basically discourage someone for running for council from those smaller faculties. And that's why you kind of need to kind of react to that faculty specific, and if you need to do it in that manner, it needs to come from the faculty associations themselves.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I agree with what Azar is saying, but I think it should be faculty specific, because it would be unfortunate if you were a nursing student and you have to go through 7 arts candidates and then 6 science candidates before you got to ask your nursing candidate a question. So I think having it faculty specific would be better. It might be tough to coordinate with faculty associations based on what else is going on for their schedule. It might be a busy month for them in March, particularly if they're taking care of their own executive elections. But if they do have the resources, then I think it'd be great to partner with faculty associations. But I really agree with what Azar is saying on having it be faculty specific as opposed to having all the candidates just packed up in some up to 40 people on substage at a time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, I'm not sure, like, during the forums, do we get that time off, like, from class? Do you know?
As in, for the counselors' forum?
No, like, for execs and counselors, do we get time off of class for that? No?
Oh, do students get time off? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's just, you're lucky enough that your schedule permits it, then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
I'm pretty sure in the past we've done something like live streaming the forums. So can I recommend that we advertise a live stream for the people who can't attend these forums in person?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure if that's been done in the past. I'd have to check on that. But I don't see why not.
Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
Hi, I have another question. So this is a Get Out the Vote campaign that you're going to attempt to run. And so you'd mentioned when I asked earlier about encouraging candidates to run that you might incorporate something like that. But from what I got, the very much primary purpose of this whole advertising campaign is for increasing voter turnout, right?
The Get Out the Vote campaign?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Candidate recruitment is a bit different, but I can talk about that after you've finished your question. Or is that...
Okay, could you talk about it?
Yeah, So in terms of candidate recruitment, this year we're actually, I don't know if you guys remember going to any election school or youth sovereign government workshops last year. Jessica and I are running our first election school before the nomination deadline. So advertising will start way in advance, essentially, because that would be on February 4th. Another thing we're in the process of doing is, like, besides widespread recruitment, is recruiting executives of student groups. We're speaking to student group services about whether that's possible or convenient for them as well, just to get the word out a bit more.
Any other questions or comments?
Otherwise, the last general question I have is if you have any comments or concerns about DRO or CRO, what would you like to see from Jessica and I this year?
In terms of banner spots, I'm pretty sure that overnight camping has been banned in terms of banner spots. Is that true? It's been a problem in the past where people will fight for a good banner spots. So I'd like to see you guys find a system of distributing banner spots without conflict. So like put the spots, say like chem hallway, cab or something like that into a hat and have people dry out, and whichever one they get is the one they put their banner on.
So having a system.
Yeah,
for,
a system
for
in
banners.
Place for something ultra-competitive like banner spots.
It'll still get ultra-competitive, I hope you know that.
Yeah,
okay.
I understand. Just a little more regulated?
No, I understand, for sure. Thank you.
Does that work? Okay.
Sorry.
In dealing with disqualifications and need to go to the die board hearing, I'd just like to see the CRO... or you maybe come in with some appropriate counsel when you go to the die board hearings? Because I would prefer not to see someone basically go into a gunfight with a knife. Because that's what it kind of felt like, at least at some of the hearings that I attended last year. And in hearing the arguments, I always thought to myself that a better job could be done to kind of represent at least your guys' views by maybe bringing someone that can kind of prepare you guys a bit better.
Hi, actually, first off, thanks for coming. The only thing I would say is that during elections, during the cycle elections especially, I'm not sure, but I'm guessing we do have one council meeting during the election period. But just if we do, I would like it maybe if the CRO or DRO, even though they might be busy, could come and give like sort of a halfway point almost review of like the election, sort of just so we can see how a lot of these changes that we've implemented this year are working. Maybe not even like the middle of the election, but after the election as well. I think that would be helpful, and for council elections as well. That just
just something I'd recommend.
We're actually, just to go off of your point, Donald, we wanted to implement a survey post-election for candidates to fill out, and even you guys to fill out, just to get your feedback from the process. But yeah, definitely, I don't see why we couldn't do that.
A big thing that I would like to see is the website for the elections to be maybe updated a little more regularly, so that we can see, like, last year I don't think our platforms were posted until like, maybe the day before or something like that, and I don't know if someone's trying to learn more about their candidates and stuff like that, and the platforms aren't posted until a day before, I think that makes things a bit challenging. And just other things like the rulings and stuff like that to be made public as soon as possible so that the electorate can know what's going on. I think that would be appreciated greatly.
Anything else?
Yeah. Well, that's everything I have, so thank you so much. And if you have any other comments or questions, feel free to email me. I don't know if my email is provided, but I can make sure you get it. Thanks.
Thank you so much to the DRO again for the presentation. Thank you all for participating and engaging in the discussion. Thank you. Constantly improving on elections is an important exercise. So, with that, we'll close presentations there, and we'll go into executive committee reports. What do you have? I'm just going to make a couple of changes here. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? I'm going to go with Vice President Bondarchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Happy New Year, everyone. I just have a number of things. I came from one of our internal business meetings, and I have a number and other things too, I guess. So Access Fund, I'm going to be going to a meeting on Thursday with the Registrar's Office about the Access Fund. As I reported a bit on earlier, we did dole out more than twice of what we usually get for the September disbursement for those in need of the bursary. And a lot of it came not from the change that we made, but just from a lot more applicants. So while we do have a contingency to cover it this year, obviously it's not something we fiscally can't have it happen every year, because Access Fund is also, we use a rolling average to figure out how much to charge students for the DFU for it, so we wouldn't want that to get like out of hand either. So I'll be looking at that. As well, we've moved to a standard POS system for a lot of our businesses, RAT and Submart, and soon Subprint will also be under one, which is a big deal because in the past we've had 7 different POS units for our 7 different businesses, and now we have 4. So we're starting to amalgamate them a little, and we save 25% of the cost. Yay. Submart's had a bit of a drop in profit, unfortunately. Our expenses seem to be high, and we've had unexpected staff costs, but this isn't a huge concern to us since it looks like we'll be able to save some staff costs and adjust the margins for the cost of goods for groceries. And the final thing for good news, for the first time in a decade, Dewey's is making a profit. Currently, it is $24,000 above the expected revenue budget. I attribute this, we have a new bars manager, she is fantastic and has really gotten it back into shape. So I'm really glad that that has happened. Thank you.
Vice President Hanwell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So first of all, my apologies. I thought I sent this in for the late ads, it just didn't make it, I guess, but I'll just go through my report really quickly in case you didn't have time to read it, which you probably didn't. Through my regular kind of way, municipal to federal, municipally, I went and met with Doug Dawson, who's the Associate Vice President, Ancillary Services. CAUSE, a couple of members of CAUSE and myself wanted to talk about property taxes on residences. Long story short, a lot of residences don't have property taxes on them, but you are Alberta, residences do. We don't think that's right. We want to try and change that. I wanted, before I went to the government, I wanted to make sure that the university was going to spend the money that we would potentially get, or save for that matter, in a way that would be profitable for us, I guess. Unfortunately, Mr. Dawson did not really give me much to work with, other than all the money would be going into a deferred maintenance fund, which I don't really think is the best use of my time to advocate for that. And then it goes into a general maintenance fund. Provincially, met with John Carson, that was really good. Met with Wes Taylor, talked a little bit about Bill 7. It was kind of frustrating. We didn't really get very far. The final comment is Mr. Taylor said that we could have went to the AGM if we had issues with it and bought a Wild Rose membership, to which we responded that we were a nonpartisan organization. And if we went to one AGM, we would have to go to all AGMs, and that's just not possible or not really a good use of our time. Finally, federal. CASA will probably be doing, as the National Advocacy Team, which I chair, will probably be rolling out a campaign.
Thank you very much, Vice President. While your time's up, thank you very much. Thank you so much for all of that. We'll move on to Vice President Rahman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So on the University Institutional Strategic Fund, this might be one of the last times that I bring it up because we've already sent out this submission to the President's Office and the Provost's Office. And I actually emailed it to them, I think, the Friday before Christmas. And then I came in to get that physical copy on the Monday afterwards, and they told me they've already read it, which I was surprised. But they had some good comments. They said that a lot of the comments reflected in the document were what they heard at their town halls and their forums, which is really good to hear. And it means that our asks are more likely to be included in the document. I know that I've already sent this to the President and Provost, but I don't think that everybody's had a chance to read it over yet. If you do have any comments on it, please send them to me. And although the final document has been sent, I'm still having meetings with the President's office and the Provost's office on it, so I can talk about if any of our stances have changed or if we have additional asks in addition to what's already in the document. So please send me your feedback.
Thank you very much, Vice President Rahman. Vice President Kwan, go ahead.
Thank you. So I'll try to keep it really short. I just want to give a huge shout out to the counselors who came out last month to come hand out treats. It was a 3-day long marathon, and we handed out $1,000 worth of hot chocolate and donuts to students across all faculty, so that was pretty great. Yay. So for the Student Selection Committee, so near the end of January and early February, we'll be hosting a town hall to make sure that all the students will get a chance to talk to the candidates and ask them questions. Meanwhile, they'll also be going around meeting with the GSA and SU reps just to see what we do and how our partnership's really like. Last thing I have on the list, we just started kickstarting the International Student Association and SU International Student Mental Health Campaign for the March Health Week. So the view of the campaign is to basically interview international students and have them talk about their post-secondary experience regarding mental health in their language and as well translated in English. So this will be in progress, and we'll be doing a couple of interviews this upcoming month.
Thank you very much, Vice President Kwan. We'll go to President Kinda.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hey everyone, welcome to the new semester. My report's pretty short, and I sent it out in the late ads. Went to a couple holiday parties before I left, had an interview about the Gateway. Of note is the Board of Governors meeting. Excuse me. There was two major motions relevant here for us. One was international tuition, which I've talked about before. This passed, I voted against it. The rent increase is also passed, of which I voted in favor. Upon asking all the questions that we had, I was pretty satisfied with the answers they gave us, especially regarding what the increases will be for. Please ask me about them later if you're curious about the details. The five of us also spent some time working out our exec goals timelines. Sometime in this next semester, we'll be presenting to you our exec goals update, so that'll be really useful and fun. There's only about 15 weeks left for us, which is quite scary. 15 work weeks, yeah, so I'm pretty scared. What else is happening? Regarding my sexual assault project, what I've decided to do is come up with some sort of pamphlet, like a one-pager, infographic, that will explain to a student
what their options are, sort of like a roadmap. You know, if you face an incident or an assault, what are your options? Reporting, non-reporting, all the various things you can do in a very easy to digest format. So I've met with someone from the Sexual Assault Center in Landing and someone from the Dean of Students Office so far just to collect information. I'll be meeting with UX at some point and turning this into a design project over the next few months. And that's about it. I also cleaned my office before I left, which is great. It's not that clean usually, so. But it's been good coming back. And I look forward to your questions, if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you very much, President Kinda. That closes executive committee reports. We'll move on to board and committee reports. Do any members of any boards or committee chairs wish to make a report? Go ahead.
As President Kinda said, there was a board meeting on December 11th, and there are two major motions on the rental rate increase and the international tuition increase by CPI. On both those things, I abstained. My reasons are outlined within the within my report. My reason for the rental rate specifically, though, I had to abstain because I had a conflict of interest.
Thank you very much, Governor Khan. Any other members of any boards or committee chairs who wish to make a report? Seeing none, we'll close board and committee reports and move into question period. I don't believe there are any written questions, so we'll go right into oral questions. Are there any questions for question period? Yes, Councillor Kevin Wong.
My question is directed to the Vice President of Student Life. If I am correct, the mental health funding that we got in 2013 has just run out. Hasn't it? No, not yet? Okay. Never mind then. But it's set to expire in August? Okay. So what are the current negotiations like for the mental health funding? Do you think we'll get more? Do you think we'll get the same amount? What's going to happen?
Okay. Thank you for the question. So before the break, Vice President Hella, I actually had a meeting with Dr. Erwal to talk about what role the SU and COS can play in terms of the future negotiations. So she said on her end, DS Students Office and President Turpin has already submitted letters to the government stating their stance on like wanting to continue funding and that or like SU, I guess, and COS should separately send like a different letter, which we find was silly that if SU just sent a separate letter with GSA, that wouldn't really do much. So we actually have a meeting with Minister Hoffman in February, I believe, just to like talk about, in general, like ask U of A and other institutions and what we're looking for. So we're kind of looking for a per headcount kind of funding method, because the last 3 years, the way the funding was granted, it was all three universities, Lethbridge, Calgary, and Alberta got the same amount, but our population-wise is like really different. So those are some of the things we want to outline, as well as a more consistent reporting and budget and statistic recording method. So it will be more consistent in the future if we do want to lobby for funding again.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The question is for President Kinda. I was wondering if Madam President could elaborate a little more on the questions regarding the rent increases.
Just give me a second, I've got to open up my email. Okay, it's not working, so I'll figure out from what I remember. Some of the things, two of the points that I remember right now are the 30% increases on the premiums for some of the new residences. It was explained that having furniture and doing the renovations would decrease incidence of bug beds and pests and those kinds of issues, so to me that seemed quite reasonable. Just having furnished units would make that possible. In terms of the 5% premium on the 4-month leases instead of an 11-month, the answer there was that it increases administrative costs and as well as the risk for increased vacancy. So to absorb that risk, they needed to add that 5% cost. So those are two of the examples noted that really answer some of my questions as to what those increases would be used for. Governor Khan, would you like to elaborate more on that? Awesome. I'll defer my time to you.
Well, President Inda's memory is a lot better than I was expecting. But, But yeah, there's also just discussion about the UWS. It's like some of the reasons for the increases for some of the residences was access to UWS. So one of the questions I asked was the fact that isn't it unfair for these students to be paying for UWS again after they're already paying for it through tuition? And the response I got back was that this additional money is needed to basically create extensions within the building, because otherwise UWS can't be accessed where they are living. If there's any more specific questions that you have, feel free to ask.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Councillor Jason Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for Vice President Academic. You mentioned in your report that the faculties of medicine, dentistry, AOS, and FGSR are running a mini-festival of teaching later this year. I'm just wondering, do all the faculties on North Campus that aren't those, do all of them on the US, participate in the festival of teaching?
Thanks for the question, Councilor. I mean, thank you, Mr. Speaker, for turning on my speaker or my microphone. The way that all faculties participate at the moment are basically their star instructors and their faculty are invited to present at the big festival of teaching. You only get 10 instructors every single year. Sometimes there's overlap. Like there'll be 2 people from arts and 2 people from FOMP in a given year. So you don't represent all faculties, but all faculties have the ability to participate. The big thing for doing faculty specific ones is that their marketing and communication departments have to have enough resources to handle another event that they didn't budget for at the beginning of the year. And so that's why we're only able to work with 3 faculties. Those were the 3 faculties that I've said. We have a bit of space and we have a bit of time to dedicate resources to this project. And so that's why those are the 3 faculties that have been selected this year. My hope is that next year more faculties will buy into this project and allocate resources for it. So you'll see instead of 3 faculties participating, maybe up to 7 or 8, and then eventually every single faculty on campus would be participating in the festival of teaching by running their own mini festival during the time works best for them.
Thank you very much. Go to Councillor Tronson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Vice President Academic, also concerning something mentioned in his report. I was wondering what the monthly updates that will be sent to Discover Governance from OASIS will consist of.
Sorry, just give me a second. No problem. Go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Thornton. I'm just going to pull it up in my email right now. The big thing that comes to mind... the big thing that comes to mind is that they have to give us updates on their expenses. So how much they're, how much is outgoing, how much is incoming for their budget, basically. And they also have to give us an update on their activities and what they plan to do for the next month. And the main reason that we have this in place is just so that, one, they're fiscally responsible and they're spending their money wisely during a key year, their first year, to reach out to students effectively. And the second thing is we really want to be there, particularly during their election cycle and during transition, because that's a key time when you're passing the reins from the first executive to the second executive. So we want to make sure that the executive has as many things in order, the second executive, that is, has as many things in order as possible when they start in during the summer term. And in case, like, it's impossible to transition a new executive on everything that you did the previous year, but it's important that they know where to go to fill in those gaps, whether it's emailing previous executives who are still on campus or talking to Discover Governance to fill in whatever gaps are. So that's what we're expecting in the monthly reports.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Councillor Dewan.
My question is for Vice President Bondarchuk. This is something you mentioned previously, that you're going to talk to the people for Bear Tracks to make it bilingual. I was wondering if you've heard anything back from that yet.
Thank you for the question. Since I did mention it just at last council, and it's been like Christmas since then, we haven't had a chance to, but we have had the next meeting between the Students' Union and the Registrar's Office set up, so I hope to look at that a bit more. In addition, I'll still be researching for the scholarships and the bilingual on that side. But yeah, we'll be looking at, I've also heard word that somebody developed the coding for Bear Tracks to be available in Mandarin, so I want to see how simple that was, to see if it's possible, if it's pretty simple to just do it in French and then hand it off to the RO and ask if it's acceptable. But it's something that, like, it'll be brought up at the next meeting that we have.
We'll go to Councillor Kwan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for VP Hamla. I was just wondering if he has anything else to add to this verbal report.
Thank you very much. Actually, I just had one more thing. Thank you for the question, and thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had one more thing I just wanted to add, and that's something that's kind of a bit of a pet project that I'm starting to work on, is, as you may or may not know, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission came out with, I believe, 93 different recommendations. CASA has put together a brief that all schools got, where there were, I think, 8 or 9 that relate directly to post-secondary education. And so the final part of my report is just that over the next month or so, I'll be doing a little bit of consultation with the Aboriginal Student Success Center, Aboriginal Students Council. Some of it actually has to do with med students, law students, and nursing students, I believe. And talking about how we can put these calls to action into SU political policy. So if anybody's interested in that at all, you should come talk to me, because I think it's really cool, and there's a lot of stuff that's coming out about it. Actually, I just found a bunch of articles that came out right before Christmas that are super cool. But yeah, that's the final thing off my report, so thank you very much.
Mr. Simao?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for VP Rahman. Just to say, I haven't read the submission of the Institutional Strategic Plan in its entirety yet, but I look forward to it. It's very riveting. However, doing a quick control F for the words French and Campus Asia, we're not in there at all, which, to be honest, is a little disappointing, but I'm very encouraged that you said that we still have time to submit. Students Council and Students Union, as we work little by little to become more bilingual, more accessible for all our student body, would you agree that it is a good idea to have something about bilingualism, about Campus Asia, included in our submission? And if so, what do you think that would look like?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Sanel. The big, I'd say, aspect came for Campus Asia in particular, and that's what I got from speaking with the VP External at AUFSJ, was making it so that internships or community service learning was available at Campus Saint John. And so that's not necessarily a French-specific task, or that's not a bilingual-specific task, but that's the one find that I got from AUFSJ. So that's why I included in the document over bilingualism. The convenient thing is that, from what I've heard from President Turpin, he really wants to focus on diversity and inclusion in the strategic plan, and that encompasses having 5 different campuses. And so it's not just Campus Saint John that we care about. It's also Augustana, it's also downtown and Enterprise Square, it's also South Campus. And so I'm hopeful that even though it's not reflected in the, even though bilingualism isn't in the Students' Union submission, it will be showing up in the final document as part of the one of the cornerstones for the UA. We are a very diverse and welcoming community, regardless of your nationality or language background. Thank you very much. We'll go to
My question is for VP Operations and Finance. I saw that there was mention of creating a SCOTUS scholarship database in your report, which is very exciting to see. And I was just wondering if there was like a set plan of action that was going to be carried out, or if you just have more details as to what you like the end goal to be.
Thank you for the question. You noticed I kind of alluded to it, and I'm like, oh wait, that wasn't okay. So something else we talked about with the Registrar's Office was the possibility for like the centralized area for scholarships, so students like don't have to waste time, not waste time, but like when time that they could otherwise be used applying for the scholarships, to just be able to find it. So it would be a joint initiative with the university and the Students' Union. Currently there's no concrete plan like in terms of like what it would look like or when it would launch, but something, some advice that I was given, a few other schools do this already and have a central location that brings together Registrar Office scholarships, faculty department scholarships, as well as community scholarships. So my next step will be researching and looking into seeing what those schools did, how it operates, is it cost effective? Because in the end, it would be really a database of links is kind of the vision around it. So it wouldn't be like a central portal where you'd like apply for all of them, but it would be somewhere where you could go, which is much easier to set up anyway. So it's something that I look forward to working on more in this term.
Go to Councilor Tronson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a follow-up question for the Vice President Academic. I was wondering if the Vice President was aware of any activities that OASIS is planning to hold during the winter term, and if not, how will he support them in potentially holding some activities?
Thank you for the question, Councilor Tronson. I know that one of the successful events that the previous two organizations have done were the music nights at Dewey's. That's something that they were really keen on doing again this year. I'm hopeful that they do it in advance of their elections to basically raise awareness for elections and get people thinking about running for OASIS positions around early March. That's the so I would expect an event shortly after Reading Week. But when it comes to supporting them, that's probably what I'll tell them.
Right.
Do an event shortly before elections so you generate awareness for the election cycle.
Okay. And I believe the last question of the first 15 minutes goes to you, Councillor Singh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Hinna. Can you elaborate more about the international student fee? How did it go?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. So the conversation was pretty basic when it comes to, it's like the same conversation, it's pretty circular. However, this increase was a 1.6% increase, which is in line with what a CPI inflationary increase would have been. So the conversation was a bit more nuanced because at the end of the day, we're like, oh, you know, it's kind of a good thing because in the sense that the president, he made a point. He noted that by only increasing it by CPI, it signals to the government that we could do with inflationary increases for international students. So in a way, that's kind of good. Though I'm not sure to what extent that's entirely like the whole truth. But at the end of the day, I did vote against it because I'm A, mandated to, and B, I think it's unfair to impose even more increases on students who already had major increases last year, especially in those five programs. And I know that's why Governor Collin abstained as well, was because students in five programs faced major increases, and there's another one of 1.6% for the upcoming year. So again, pretty circular argument or discussion around the board table, but it was interesting to hear the president talk about defending an inflationary increase. So perhaps that's something we can use as a defense, you know, at an upcoming board meeting talking about international tuition increases. I hope that makes sense.
So our first 15 minutes of question period have elapsed, unless I see five placards. There are currently four people on the speaker's list, so unless I see five placards or five engineer, wonderful. So we'll go to our next 15 minutes of question period, starting with Governor Kahn.
Question to Councillor Singh. I was curious how he felt about how the undergraduate representatives on the Board of Governors voted on that increase.
No, so I was just curious about how did it go, but so obviously because I was in another meeting, so I don't know anything about that. So yeah, I'm pretty happy that you guys abstained. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for Vice President of Operations and Finance. You mentioned a unexpected staff expense for support. I was wondering if he could elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yes, thank you. Well, thank you for the question. Sorry, I skimmed over this one a bit. I'll go through this in more detail. So we've seen, while Subart hasn't seen a decline in like visitors, we have seen a bit of a drop in profit because of our high expenditures. We attribute it mostly to staff costs and the cost of goods overall. What happened with the staff costing is that, where am I looking? The added labor of increasing Submart's hours by a few hours had not yet been factored in. It was something that The executive committee had approved a project allocation for, but that money hasn't been included in the budget yet. So currently Submart's sitting at a deficit there, but it will be filtered in, and hopefully staff costs will balance out a little more. In addition, we've restructured the way that Submart is handling its staff. One of our assistant manager for Submart has gone on maternity leave, so we will be having kind of like part-time students fill that place, which opens up more jobs for students as well as cutting costs overall. So like I said, it's not a volume or customers issue. We've just had some weird variations in staff costs, a little bit as well from the adjusted margins for the cost of groceries specifically, which is something that I'll be looking into more. We're like week to week revisiting the groceries exactly to see what we're able to stock full year and what can kind of be dropped. Because like especially like fruits go through seasonal periods, so to see what's the most cost effective while still being advantageous to have there for students. Thanks.
Councilor Jason Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a question for President Kendo. President Kendo.
Sorry.
Okay, no worries. I was just wondering about the workflow, the sheet, or poster you mentioned on ways of reporting sexual assault on campus. I'm just wondering, have you given any thought to how it's going to be advertised? Because I think there's a lot of information that students are bombarded with, so to speak, and especially from the SU, there's a lot of really good information that we've been struggling to get out to students, right? So I'm just wondering, like, have you given it any thought? Will it fit into other types of advertisements?
Awesome, thank you for the question. So I'll think more about that when we get to that stage, but that's basically the critical issue here is like the university has all this information on their website. It's just really cumbersome to read, like no one really knows where to go, it's in multiple websites and pages. So the point of this is to make communication that much easier, and because it'll hopefully be visually appealing, like it'll get more students interested. It's easier to digest. So I mean, communication plan obviously would be social media, going through student groups, our own student newsletter, perhaps even a separate email to all 30,000 students for this. There's lots of things we can use, but that's basically what the point of this is it's not going to be new information, but information that's already there to make it more accessible. So.
We'll go to Councilor Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to direct this question to President Kenda. You mentioned in your report the podcast interview with the Gateway regarding Lister Association restructure. Great to see it. I was happy to see it on Facebook earlier today. Didn't get a chance to watch it yet. I was curious if you had any more information just regarding that you could bring to council, or there's nothing new yet.
Great question. So there's not too much to report on yet, but I did, this is my first day back after the holiday break, but it does seem like the committees have largely finished their work and will be focusing on, you know, actually starting the creation of the student group now. So in like a rough estimate, it should be up and running by February, but again, a little bit too early to say, so I'll check in again with my GM and Discover Governance this week and let you guys know what's going on.
And Governor Khan.
My question was the same as Councilor Fox's, so my pass.
Wonderful. Are there any further questions for question period? Seeing none, we'll close question period there. Move on to board and committee business, of which there is none. So we'll move into general orders. Bonnerchuk moves to approve Bill 11, amendments to Bylaw 100, committee mandates in Students' Union Bylaw in first reading based on the following first principles. The principles are listed in the main agenda as well as on the screen at the front and near the back. Before we go into introductions, is there a seconder for this motion? Councilor Lewis? Vice President Bonnerchuk, would you like to introduce your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would.
Go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you. Heads up, you will be hearing a lot from me this term. I have something like 7 or 8 things that I hope to bring to council. You're welcome. So, this is the first one. This is something that I had started last year with something to bylaw earlier that cleaned up a bit of the bylaw 3000 and 6000 series around specifically around the dedicated fee units, and this takes care of the mandates under Bylaw 100. So again, working off of former Vice President Hodgson's plan when he redid the way that DFUs are structured, there were just some parts of bylaw that were missed, so I'd like to put practice into policy and ratify these. And full disclosure, I did actually, I have, or wait, no, sorry, that's off, okay. Anyway, so the things here, so my different, sorry, wow, I just went way all over the place, okay. So, principles. The first one, that the dedicated fee unit financial reviews and disbursement are now approved by Finance Committee on an annual basis. This is a change from when a selective review was done by Audit Committee in the past. So the second point is no longer necessary for Audit Committee to review DFUs on an as-needed basis. I feel that this is good because, like I said, in the past there was no requirement for how often a DFU had to do it, but now the Finance Committee is reviewing it, it's okay to remove the as-needed clause. Administration of the Access Fund as well now, something that we changed through standing orders and through a vote that last year's council made, and something that was further ratified by Finance Committee earlier this term, to have the standing orders of Finance Committee reflect that the Registrar's Office disbursement policies are the ones that we follow for Registrar's Office. So I would like to strip the part about Access Fund Administration from Bylaw 100 and just keep Finance Committee having the right to oversee regulation of the fund, which is the agreement that we have with the Registrar's Office. As well, the administration of the SU Awards program, because a lot of the changes to awards happen through Finance Committee, a lot of it is repeated in standing orders, so I feel it really only needs to be there instead of in Bylaw 100, because there's a lot of technical things that bylaw is not really made for. And finally, the amendments to Audit Committee and Finance Committee mandates, just to shuffle around Finance taking over the dedicated fee unit portion and Audit keeping and boosting up the faculty association reviews that we now have. So by changing the practices reflected through the different bylaws that we've done in the past. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Donnerchuk, for the introduction. Is there any debate on item 7A? Riveting. Is there anyone opposed to carrying item 7A? Would anyone like to abstain from item 7A and have their abstention noted? Seeing none, that motion carries unanimously. With that, I believe everything has been taken care of on the agenda. So, again, next meeting is at Campus Saint-Jean 2 weeks from today. As Mr. Samal pointed out, the minibus, to take the minibus, it's just in between the Fine Arts Building and the Tim Center for the Performing Arts. It's basically, it's like the walkway is a straight shot towards East Campus Village from Education. If any of you don't know where that is, I'm sure someone can find a PDF of a map and put a big red X on the location. Other than that, that wraps up our meeting for today. We take attendance, then we'll let you all go. Good luck in the upcoming semester. I hope everyone enjoyed their holiday break and got some much-needed rest, because apparently Vice President Bonnerchuk is going to be bringing the house down with tons of different motions and things for the semester. So, attendance, President Kinda.
Here.
Vice President Rahman.
Still here.
Vice President Hanwell.
Here.
Vice President Bonnerchuk.
Here.
Vice President Kwan.
Here.
Governor Khan.
Here.
Councillor Allard.
Here.
Councillor Tronson.
Here.
Councillor Zhang. Councillor Burton. Councillor Dion.
Here.
Councillor Schlan.
Here.
Councillor Angus.
Here.
Councillor Patches.
Here.
Councillor Chandan.
Here.
Councillor Chang. Councillor Stephen.
Here.
Councillor Kai Xiao Wang. Councillor Patrick?
Here.
Councillor Jason Wong?
What's up?
Councillor Yu? Councillor Singh?
Present.
Councillor Kornhoff? Councillor Christensen?
Here.
Councillor Doan? Councillor Flanagan?
Yep.
Councillor Hodgson?
or sorry, Ms. Maxwell for Councillor Hutt.
Yeah.
Ms. Crooks for Councillor Bissell.
Yeah.
Mr. Sanat for Councillor McKinnon.
Present.
Councillor Kwan.
Yeah.
Councillor Duan.
Here.
Councillor Adamaj.
Here.
Councillor Kevin Wong.
Here.
Councillor Shu.
Here.
Councillor Mustafis.
Here.
Councillor Lewis.
Here. Left.
And I am here, meeting adjourned at 7:19 p.m. I'm going to take my money.